Be'ezer Hashem, tonight, the style of what we're going to do is a little bit different than what we've done in the past. I'd like to learn a little more Chumash than what we normally do, and try Be'ezer Hashem to develop a basic idea in the Parshios, which also will be an idea of Machshav and Musar as well, and when necessary, bring halacha to substantiate what we're saying. This week's parsha, and parsha's told us, we have the sequel of the sequel. What's it called when you have a movie that you three times?
Trilogy.
The trilogy? Okay. So the Torah repeats a trilogy of event that appears in three different instances. In Perek Chavav, in Pasuk Vav, we have Yitzchak going to Gerar, and again his wife being taken away, like we've seen already twice in Parshas Lech Lecha and in Parshas Vayir. So let's just read those psukim and contrast them. We're going to contrast as much Vayir and Lech Lecha as Parshas told us as well. Perek Chavav. Pasuk Vav, Vayeshu Yitzchak b'Gerar, Vayishalu Anshei Amalchim l'Ishtai, Vayomer Achaisihi, Ki Yarei Lemar Ishti, Pen Yarguni Anshei Amalchim al Rivka, Ki Toivas Marehi. So he lies when the people ask about his wife. The Ramban comments, we're going to use the Ramban a lot, Be'ezer Hashem here. Maybe I've been inspired by my cousin Ravdani a little bit. But the Ramban points out that over here, it's the people who have asked about the wife. Why is it that the emphasis on the Anshei HaMakom? Well, Avimelech himself has already gotten burned. Avimelech has gotten burned. Although the Ramban himself points out this might not be the Avimelech of Avram's time, but the Avimelech has already gotten burned. So, Vayishu Anshei HaMakom. Okay. Notice over here, I'd like to be medayik. I'd like to ask, be medayik in many things, Be'ezer Hashem, and the difference between these parashiyas. Over here, it says, Pen yaharguni, lest they kill me. Avram Avinu says, with Avimelech and Parshas Vayera, let's look back to Parshas Vayera. In Vayera, it is also towards the beginning of the Perek. In Perek, Chach. Towards the beginning of the parak again, Avram Avinu at the end of the parasha, when Avimelech asks him what's going on, so Avram Avinu says, "Vaharaguni al dvarishti," not pen yaharguni, but Avram Avinu says, "Vaharaguni, you would kill me." He was more confident than Yitzchak was. Okay, so that's tzarich yiyun number one. Tzarich yiyun number two is a very subtle chiluk. Let's take a look and let's continue reading the psukim. Vayhi karchu lo shama yom, vayashkif avimelech melchushin barach aloim, vayar v'hine Yitzchok mitzachei keis rivko ishtoi, vayikra avimelech Yitzchok, vayomer ach, hine ishtecho yiveich, amarta acho isihi, vayomer lov Yitzchok, ki amarti penom osodel. So Yitzchok's response over here is a little bit interesting. It starts off, let's even go back in Pasuk Zayin. Vayishlu anshei amokam lishto vayomer achosihi ki yare leimar ishti pen yaharguni. Again, the pen yaharguni and the pen omus, oh, two times the pen, but in the context of the Pasuk, asks Rabbi Elyameir Bloch, Rabbi Elyameir Bloch asks the following question. In Pasuk Zayin, it shouldn't say pen yaharguni. Who's speaking now? The writer of the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, is speaking. So it should say, Pen Yaharguhu. The whole subject was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us the story in Pasuk Zayin. Vayishlu Anshei Amokom Li'ishto, they asked about him. So there it shouldn't quote Yitzchak's statement. It shouldn't say, Pen Yaharguni, on the top of all of us using the same defus, almost all of us, on top of page 60. But rather it should say, Pen Yaharguhu. He said, Achosihi. Why does it say, Pen Yaharguni? Why does it continue on in Yitzchak's voice? It should say Pen Yargu, as I frekt Rebel Yemeir. It's quoted in one of the Kitzer Svarim, Mishulchan, what's that sefer called? Mishulchan Gavoa. They quote Rebel Yemeir Blach. So, those are two of the tzarchins. I'd like to throw out all the tzarchins, Rabbi Yitzchak. We're going to have about 7 or 8 in the parashia. So let me just list all the tzarchins and then we'll come back. That's in contrast, Parshas told us. Now let's take a look at Parshas Vayera. The event in Parshas Vayera, this happens twice to Sarah and Avram. Let's take a look at how it happens to Avram in Parshas Vayera and Perichot and contrast it to how it happened the first time in Parshas Lech Lecha. And there are Yisodos Gedolos that emerge, Be'ez Hashem, from this trilogy. Parshas Vayera, Vayisa Misham Avram Arza Anege, Vayesha Ben Kaila Shivan Shur, Vayoga Ben Gror. Vayomer Avram El Sora Ishtoi, Achoisi. He warns her, I'm going to say that you're my sister. Vayisa Achavimel Tmelch Gror, Vayikach Esora. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avimelech Balayla. Vayoba Elohim El Avimelech Bachaloyim Alayla. Vayomer Loi, Hinchameis Al Isha Shelakavta. So what's Avimelech's reaction? First of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to him. And Avimelech says, I didn't do anything wrong. Vayomar Adonai, Agoy Kan Tzadik Taro, Pasuk Dalet, Halo Hu Amar Lachosihi. She said that she was my sister. And Avram has the same challenge. He receives the same challenge from Avimelech. Not only does Avimelech question HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did I do wrong? He then goes to Avram Avinu. Pasuk Tes, skipping down a little. Vayikra Avimelech Avram, vayoymer loy, mas me'asi salonu, mechatasi loch. Keveisa alai v'amlachti, chato gedola, righteous indignation. Vayomer Avram, what's Avram Avinu's response in Pasuk Yud Aleph? Ki amarti rak en yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. So Rabbi Bram Spiegel used to ask, and already other Mefarshim emphasize this, we're going to develop idea and elaborate and maybe expand on what Rabbi Bram Spiegel writes in his Akdama to his Sefer Bikurei Abba. He asks, what type of response is Avram Avinu's response? Reuven, God forbid, steals from Shimon. Shimon said, or lies to him. He lies to him. And he says, how could you have lied to me? Shimon says to him, he says, oh, because you're not God-fearing. That's a justification. Rakan Yiras Elokim? What's the pshat? Some of you might have an answer, but let's leave that as Sarachiyun number 3. So Sarachiyun number 1, we saw already in the Parshas, 1 and 2 in Parshas, told us, we'll go over, some might keep score over here because we'll review it all the way afterwards. We'll go over all the tzarchiyuns. Tzarchiyun number 3 is, what's this complaint of Rakan Yiras Elokim? Now Rashi makes a beautiful diuk. Rashi Alatayra makes a beautiful diuk in the back and forth between Avram Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Between Avimelech and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Pasuk Hei, Avimelech argues, Halo hu amarli achosihi, vihi gam hi amra achihu, b'sam levavi uvenikyan kapai asisizos. Avimelech says, I've done this, let's translate the words as best as we can, with a pure heart and with clean hands. Kadosh Baruch Hu continues and responds to him, Pasuk Vav, Vayomer elav Elokim b'chalom, gam ani yadati ki v'sam levavav achosisizos. I know that you did it b'tmima slave. I know that inherently you weren't intending to do anything wrong. Rashi makes a beautiful deal. Pasuk Vav in Rashi, Yadati ki v'sam levavicha. Emes shelo demisa metchila lachto, avon nikyon kapayim enkan. So Rashi makes a beautiful deal. Avimelech says, b'sam levavi uvenikyon kapay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're right. You would be some levavi. Says Rashi, let's be medayik in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words. He says it was tmimas lev, but it wasn't nikyan kapay. So tzarachiyun number 4 that we need to be masbir is what exactly is the chisaron of nikyan kapay of Avimelech? What is that chisaron? Maybe we could go even a little bit further. Sarasimu number 5. We all know in Tehillim, we say, when we put down back the Torah, Perek Chav Dalet in Tehillim, we say, Niki Chapayim Uvar Leivav. Who's going to be Zocha to be Ola Bahar Hashem? He's someone who has Niki Chapayim Uvar Leivav. Now it's interesting that Avimelech says the opposite. He doesn't exclaim Niki Chapayim Uvar Leivav as David HaMelech does, but rather he says, B'Sam Levavi Uvinikyom Kapai. He's got the order backwards. So Tzarech Yud number 5, is there any significance in the fact that David HaMelech in Perek Chav Dalet says the order in the inverse that Avimelech does? Tzarech Yud number 6, let's take a look at Parshas Lech Lecha. The first of the incidences, and there, in Parshas Lech Lecha, there seems to be a different narrative that takes place. By Sheni, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Of course, there are many diukim to make, but let's just focus on a couple of them. Here it's Mitzrayim. Vayiru Amitzrim Esau Yishav Ki Yofi Imoid Vayiru Esau Sarei Paroi Vahalu Esau Paroi Vatuka Acho Yishav Beis Paroi. Sarei is taken away and Paro says, how could you lie to me? Pasuk Yuches Vayikra Farei Lavram Vayomer Mazoi Sasisali Loma Lo Yigatu Lo Yishav Vahi Loma Amarta Acho Yisihi Vakach Yisali Yisha Vata Hine Yishtecha Kach Volech. Sarachiyu number, what are we up to? 6? Sarachiyu number 6 is, why is it that over here Avram doesn't say anything back? Why doesn't he have this response? Rakein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. Why doesn't he respond to Paro? Why no response? Okay, so let's review our Sarachiyuns. We have 6 tzarachiyuns in the parashiyos. And we're contrasting the 3 parashiyos of the capture of the imahos. We start off with probably the most subtle diukim in this week's parasha. That in parashiyos told us in Perek Chavav, Yitzchak says, Pen Yaharguni, as opposed to Avram Avinu who says, Vahargu al Dvarishti. Why the difference between the two? Rebellion Meir Bluffs asked, why is it that we quote only Yitzchak when you say that said in the personal, Pen Yaharguni, as opposed to the narrator, the Torah itself, to say, Vahargu al Dvarishti? That was our second Sarachim. Then we went to Parshas Vayera and we saw the capture of Sari Menu by Avimelech. And over there we have the strange response of Avram Avinu, Rakein Yiras Elokim. What type of answer is that to a lie? What does it mean, Rakein Yiras Elokim? Then we saw Rashi's beautiful deal that Avimelech says that he did it the sub levavi of Nikyon Kapai. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know you did it the sub levavi. What is this about the Nikyon Kapai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu claims that Avimelech doesn't have? What's this Nikyon Kapai that he claims it doesn't have? That was Sarachiyun number, Sarachiyun number 5 is, why is it that in Tehillim we have the opposite? In Tehillim we have Niki Chapayim Uvar Leivav. David HaMelech speaks about Niki Chapayim Uvar Leivav. And Avimelech, for some reason, emphasizes the opposite. B'Sam Levavi Uvinikyon Kapa. Then we went to Parshas Lech Lecha, and we asked, why is it that Avram Avinu doesn't respond at all to Paro? Paro asks him the same question Avimelech does, and there's no response. So to answer this question, or some of these questions, Ha'ara of the Ramban is very, very important. The Ramban points out in a couple of places that Avimelech prided himself as being a very moral person. Says the Ramban in Perek Chof, Pasuk Beis in Parshas Vayera, Vayomer Avram el Sar Ishta Afosihi, Lo Hayezek Kimo B'Mitzrayim. Kishon Bivon B'Mitzrayim, the Ramban is Medayik, when they came to Mitzrayim, immediately, Vayira Mitzrayim Esal Yishok Yofi, they grabbed her. They saw a pretty woman, and in Mitzrayim, that's what they did. They would grab her. Ava Melech Hazeh, but this king, Tom Yosher, Gaman Oshav Tovim, they were straighter people. Rak Avram choshed them, but for some reason Avram was still choshed them. And the Malvim and the Abarbanel are Ma'arich on this Ramban. And they say that really the civilizations of Mitzrayim and Gerar were two fundamentally different civilizations. Mitzrayim was the heart of hedonism, is the heart of a country that was seeking pleasure. And Gerar, Avimelech's Gerar, prided itself as introducing a system of morality to the world. And that's why the response towards Sarah is different. When we have Avram coming to Gerar, so then they ask, as opposed to a Mitzrayim, immediately, Vayiro saw Sarah Pharaoh, they immediately grab her. Now let's go back to our last Tzarechim. When Paro turns to Avram in Parshas Lech Lecha, Tzarechim number 6, and he says, why did you lie to me? There's nothing for Avram to say back to him. Avram knows that he has to lie, and he can't explain it rationally, because the war, if you will, with Mitzrayim is a war against the Yetzer Hara, and you can't rationalize with the Yetzer Hara. So he's not going to even explain. He walks away. Immediately, Avram Avinu leaves. However, Avimelech, you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to talk to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't come to talk to Paro. Paro is full. He's just mamish the chomrius of Olam Hazeh. Avimelech claims that he has a system of morality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a little musa. We don't understand. Nikyon Kapai. You're missing in the Nikyon Kapai. And then Avram Avinu gives him the kuncha. Avram Avinu says, you have a system of morality, but rak ein yiras elokim b'makom hazeh. Of course, what's the answer to Tzarechim number 3? How could he say that I lied to you because you're not God-fearing? V'haraguni al dvar ishti. Once there's no yiras shamayim, if you, and here's the very important yisod, if you make the laws, with your own intellect, if you pride yourself on having a moral system that's not based on Yiras Elokim, the logic that makes the laws is going to be the logic that breaks the laws. And what are you going to do? You might keep the law about the prohibition of Eish Yisish, but you make sure that I'm going to get killed. Rak in Yiras Elokim ha-makom hazeh, v'haraguni al-dvar ishti. And then in such a case, then you might kill me because of my wife. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Avimelech as well. Maybe on a deeper level than Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu gives it as a Musar Shmuz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it in a metaphor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, you said the sum levav you v'nityon kapai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it could be that you thought that you were sincere, the sum levavi. But it isn't Nikyon Kapai. What does that mean, that's not Nikyon Kapai? So I would like to argue that the Bechina of Sam Levavi of Nikyon Kapai are two stages in Avodas Hashem. The Pasuk of Niki Chapai Muvar Levav that David HaMelech is saying, that Pasuk of Niki Chapai Muvar Levav is connected, especially we see from this Parsha, to Yerushalayim. Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. Before a person gets to the Tmimus Halev, gets to the purity of Chachma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avodas Hashem, the first thing he needs is that his Maisin be full of Yiras Shamayim. What's an expression of his ma'isin? Niki chapayim, it's clean hands. Before a person goes into amelus b'teira, the person has to make sure whether his kapayim are clean. Says David HaMelech, Mi Yaleh V'Har Hashem, Niki Chapayim. The first step is Niki Chapayim. Then a person could attain the Madrega of Var Levo. But if a person can be Tovo L'Sharetz B'Yado, he's going to try to skip the stage of Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, then ultimately that person is going to fall. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that back to Avimelech. He's saying it's true, Usam Levavcha. You're right, intellectually he thought what you were doing was innocent. However, what's lacking in you is that Yiras Shemayim. So it could be there's the Usam Levavcha, but the Nikyon Kapai was lacking. And this, of course, explains the difference in Tehillim Chav Daled. So now we've answered also the Tzarech Nun of why we have the inverted order of Tehillim, and also what's Pshat when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the Nikyon Kapai is lacking, and it's really all comes from this point that Rabbi Braunschweigel brought out, that it's all based on the Chisaron of Rak and Yiras Elokim b'Makom Hazeh. There's no Yiras Shemayim, so then ultimately everything is going to could fall away. Along these lines, the Ramban says that in this week's parasha, Yitzchak saw that Avimelech got the lesson. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and he sent him a lesson in the sense that he wasn't going to be Nichshel again. Says the Ramban, it was Dafka, the people that had took him in Parshas, that took Rivka in Parshas told us. It wasn't Avimelech himself, whether Avimelech's son or Avimelech. Vayishlo anshei amakom le'ishto. So now, Avimelech already is not going to be Nechshel because he was already punished by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now we could go back to the first two Tzarech Yuns that we had asked. First two Tzarech Yuns were, why does Yitzchak say Pen Yarguni? Why does he not say Vaharaguni, like Avraham Avinu had said? So the answer is the following. The answer is that when it came to Avraham Avinu was sure that if there's no Yiras Shamayim, that ultimately if there's no Yiras Shamayim, he was positive that they were going to kill him. That's what emerges. Varaguni advarishti. Rakin yourself kim makom hazeh. Varaguni advarishti. He was sure. However, now already, Anshei Avimelech, at least Avimelech, and maybe Anshei Gerar in general, already have the pachad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yiras Ha'onesh. There's a Yiras Ha'onesh over here. There's afraid of them getting punished. So then, in such a case, so then it's only Pen Yarguni. Maybe the Yiras Ha'onesh is not going to be enough. Because we all know, Yiras Ha'onesh is not the highest Madrega. A higher Madrega is Yiras HaRomimus. That's a higher Madrega. So maybe the Yiras Ha'onesh is not going to be enough. And this is exactly what Rebellia Bluff said in terms of why it switches from Vaharaguni and Varagu. Because in truth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the Onesh that came to Avimelech was so severe that ultimately it became clear that they would never have killed him this time. However, it was Yitzchak's pachad of Pen Yaharguni. He was still afraid. He remembered how Avram Avinu, he recalled as it was told him, how Avram Avinu was so scared of it, so he had the Pen Yaharguni. There was still a little bit of nervin, as we say. There was a little bit of the anxiety of that, but the Torah is being made, it was only a fear of Yitzchak as opposed to an absolutism. But what emerges then, the powerful Musar is that if there's no Yiras Shemayim, and there was no Yiras Ha'onesh, then for sure the system of morality is going to break apart. Rebellion Meir Bluff says that fits into the Lashon HaPasuk in Chav Vav Tes. Vayomer Lav Yitzchak, Ki Amarti, I thought. What's Ki Amarti? He claims that's Ki Savarti, that I was thinking that, I was afraid. But the Torah is not made that. However, when Avraham Avinu says it, Avraham Avinu says it in absolute terms. Why? Because Avraham Avinu is sure that the system of morality is so corrupt that ultimately it will run the risk of Varaguni al Dvar Ishti. Rabbi Osai, the lesson from this mahalach in answering all the tzarifiyuns in this parasha is a very, very basic one. Let me tell to you the way Rav Spiegel writes it out in the Hakdama of his Sefer, and let's try to put in practical terms for us, and then maybe connect it to our avoda of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, heading towards Hanukkah. Rav Spiegel describes, after he says over this idea, says, Ani agever ra ani. He says, I saw the pain of the korban. Rav Spiegel never told this to us publicly, just this past year when I visited him. He should be well, he's getting older now. And he never said it out. We knew that he was in the Holocaust a little. His life story is very it's very fascinating. He's a tiny man, if you've ever seen him. He's very, very small. Probably because of that, he survived the war. And also, it could be a result of the war itself. Because he was hidden as a child during the Chorban. His parents were in a labor camp, and he was hidden. He didn't exist. He probably was also malnutritioned as well, and that's why he's so small. So the fact that he was so small might have saved him. I asked him just last year, he never commented, his parents I knew survived. He said there was, if I'm not mistaken, 7 of them, and only 3 siblings survived, came out from the war. And he describes, this is a tangential point, he describes as a child, he was born in 38, 39. So he describes that as a child, he really, this is his earliest memories. His earliest memories are from the concentration camps. And he says that what he remembers as a child is being hungry. And he also remembers his parents being moser nefesh for mitzvahs. Those are his earliest memories. You know, God willing, our children, some of their earliest memories are going to be going to shul and going to school and us doing mitzvahs with them. That's also, even in the death camps, in the Gates HaMavis, his earliest memories are his parents being moser nefesh for mitzvahs. He says that he remembers around this time of the year, around Hanukkah time, his mother, some corner somewhere in the camps, building a tiny oven about the size of a small box and putting tiny pieces of flour into this tiny oven, and matzos about this size coming out around Hanukkah time, because the Nazis weren't looking for it at that time yet. And then she gave them out, and the Jews sewed it into their garments. And it was there until Pesach, and then Pesach time they took it out to eat. That was the Mesiras Nefesh. He says, you remember, the Machlokes Rishonim, whether you're allowed to have a sukkah, a human sukkah, whether you're allowed to have schach put on, are you allowed to use human beings as a walls, as the fanos? The discussion in Rishonim, the discussion in Gemara about behemos, discussion about using human beings. So he remembers as a child them putting schach on themselves and each person running in and making a bracha of leishos. Those are his memories. He says, Ani agever ra ani, he also saw, I'm sure, many other terrible things as well. And he remembers quite clearly that Germany was the ultimate of all morality, of all culture. Source of all culture, pre-World War II, really started from Germany. The best music, the best art, all that came from Germany. But if a system of morality comes from something that's made based on man's intellect, so then God forbid the same koach, the same depth of science and power of intellect could be used for humanity to destroy itself. How does that apply to us? Rabosa, we have to ask ourselves whether we have a value that comes outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. If there's a value that comes outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, then it runs the risk. We believe very, very much in Chachma Bagoyim. We believe very, very much in Chachma Bagoyim. And I oppose those who oppose the value and the need for it. But Me'idach Kisa, we have to be moda that the line the Kav is a very, 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 very important line that needs to be drawn. That not to elevate Chachma Bagoyim to the point that it informs our system of morality, because ultimately, if it's not Yiras Shamayim, that's Kodem HaKol, if it's not Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, so then ultimately it could lead to a system that's extremely, extremely corrupt. I think that this is the Avodah of Rosh Chodesh Kislev as well. Let's segue to a Bezer Hashem, a new Nekuda. The Yom Tov of Chanukah is a very, very strange halachic entity. Yom Tov of Chanukah really doesn't make very much sense. If you think about it, the system of Neiros Chanukah is totally out of whack of everything else in the system of halacha. What's the halacha? The halacha is hider mitzvah ad shlish. You're supposed to spend the third of the value of the mitzvah. Mila gavu, mila var is a discussion in the Gemara. But one third of the mitzvah is supposed to be spent on the mitzvah. However, take the Rambam's example of Neiros Chanukah. The Rambam says that on the eighth night, the Mahadran min HaMahadran is, if you have 10 people in the house, 80 people light the menorah. What in the world is going on? It's backwards. How could it possibly be? Normally you're not supposed to spend more than one third. Here you spend 80 times the actual value of the mitzvah. It's not consistent at all. Also, Tzarechiyun, the Gemara in Shabbos says, Tan Rabbana, mitzvah, Chanukah, Ner Mishu, Beisa, Mahadrin, Ner L'Kol Echad, V'Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin. How often does the Gemara immediately jump into Hidr Mitzvah? Lulav HaGozel, V'Yavesh. So Rashi makes a crazy comment, and Rashi says, Ekei Levan Veis. Achronim have to spill a lot of ink about what's going on with Rashi's comments, Ekei Levan Veis. It's not crazy. It's a beautiful chat. But at the end of the day, at first glance, the Gemara doesn't talk about Hidr Mitzvah at all. The Gemara only talks about the Mikr Dedina. Why, when it comes to Neiros Chanukah, all of a sudden, such an emphasis of Hidr? But it goes even further than that. Asks Rabbi Kiva Eger, Madura Tinyana Simen Yud Gimel. Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, why is it that when it comes to Hidr Mitzvah by Neir Chanukah, your father lights the menorah, you're in his house, then you have a mitzvah of Hidr Mitzvah, you get up to the plate, and you say, Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, you make a bracha, Hashem Elokeinu. What? Where else do you make a bracha on a Hidr Mitzvah? Ask Rabbi Kiva Eger, how can you make a bracha on a Hidr Mitzvah? We've mentioned in the past that Rabbi Kiva Eger goes so far as to say that really, what the Ashkenazim doesn't make any sense. Sfaradim don't, right? Says it really doesn't make any sense. And the only reason why you can make a bracha is if you have in mind not to be yotze with your father's hadlaka. It's very funny. This Rabbi Kiva Eger is barely brought down. But in the Furish, Rabbi Kiva Eger says it doesn't make any sense to make a bracha on Hidr Mitzvah. Where do you make a bracha on Hidr Mitzvah? Sfas Emes on Shah says you have to say kach tiknu chachamim. That for some reason the chacham were misaking to make a bracha on a Hidr Mitzvah. That's really funny. Why? So tzarechiyu number one is, why do we say 80 times the value of the mitzvah? Tzarechiyu number two is, why is there a mahadrin that's so central? And tzarechiyu number three is, why is it that according to most, Rabbi Kiva Eger's position is not acceptable? Who Rabbi Kiva Eger is 100% right. You shouldn't make a bracha on the Hidr Mitzvah. Finally, Rabbi Kiva Eger himself, over there in Madur Tinyan Yud Gimel, quotes El Yo Rabba, and Rabbi Kiva Eger doesn't understand it, that says, let's say it's the seventh night, and a fellow has six Neiros, so we paskin that he should light six Neiros. And he has in mind, and he lights, and he makes a bracha, Ladik Ner, and he makes a bracha, Shasa Nisim, and then he gets a seventh candle. Zot El Yo Rabbi makes a new bracha. What? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger again. Same question. Why do you make a bracha on the Hidr? We never make a bracha on the Hidr mitzvah. You make a bracha on the Hidr? Of course not. So there's something over here about Chanukah and Hidr that's so important. And Be'ezer Hashem, I think, what's important about Neiros Chanukah is connected also to the Musar that Avraham Avinu gives us when he says, Rakan Yer Selokim. The Beis HaLevi and the Chiddush HaRim answer the first couple of questions is of course a favorite answer of mine. In the Beis Halevi in the Chiddush, it's very common. In the Beis Halevi and the Chiddush Yerim give the same mahalach, and they say, "Wait a second, I know why Hiddur Mitzvah is so important, because the Nes only came about because of Hiddur Mitzvah." We all know the halacha is Tomei Hutra B'Tzibur. The Chashmonaim could have taken Tamei oil. The Chashmonaim could have used diluted oil. So the whole reason that the Nes came about is because the Chashmonaim were makbid to do a behidur. So now we know why Hiddur Mitzvah is so important. But still, Rabbosai, Akam Devrayim Akdoshim. But at the end of the day, I still don't understand why is it that the Chashmonaim did that? If there's a halacha called Tumah Hodra B'Tzibur, you follow the halacha. We're not frummer than the halacha itself. Why over here did the Chashmonaim not do it? The halacha says that the oil has to be a certain amount of thickness bihidura. So you can't be mekayem to bihidura. So you don't ain't somchin al anes. What's going on? Why is it that the Chashmonaim are going so far for the hidur? So I suggested in the past, a week and a half ago, I suggested to Rav Nevinsel, and he elaborated on this idea as well, that it could be that the reason why they didn't rely on Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur is because it gets at the core of the whole struggle with Yama. What's central to Greek philosophy? One of the most significant parts of Greece's contribution to the world, and it's a real contribution, is Greek art. There's complex Greek philosophy, Greek literature. All of those things brought to the world the value of aesthetic, the value of beauty. To this day, the things that one's allowed to look at in art, you know, art class always and not so pashut, the whole business is still about itself. But the things that you are allowed to look at, so those things, really a large part of it have deep roots in Greece. And the struggle for the Yehudim, the struggle between the Mitznyavnim and the Chashmonaim, was how much do we appreciate from Greek culture? How much do we take from Greek culture? Greek culture went so far as to say, we emphasize the aesthetic beauty, that's only something that's beautiful that we could look at, that we could touch, that we could see. But they were kofar bakol, they denied the entire essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kutcha Brifu Ba'atzma. Why? Because their notion of art is only something that the eye could appreciate, that the ear could appreciate. Anything that you can't touch and feel, so that was something that they didn't appreciate at all. So the struggle with the Yavanim was gufa about this issue. Are there two things? Is there something called Torah and something else called aesthetics? The Misyavnim began to live in a bipolar world. The Misyavnim lived in the world where they saw the beauty of Greek culture and they elevated the beauty of culture, and then there was Torah mitzvahs, there was Ruchnias, it was a total separate thing. They took the good from the Greeks and they took the good from Torah. But ultimately, their hashpa'a of what constitutes beauty was an entirely secular definition of what beauty was. Come along the Chashmonaim, and the Chashmonaim say that if our entire struggle is that we want everything to come from Kutcha Brichu Batzma, everything has to come, Yisrael Barais of the Kutcha Brichu, everything has to come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all hashpa'os. Not that we live in a bipolar world where we keep God kosher, but our values, our aesthetic values come from something that's outside. No, everything, there is an aesthetic value. Yaf yifusa shel yefes ba'al Hashem. Everything has to be done ba'al Hashem. If that's so then the whole point that the Chashmonaim are trying to bring out is that we have Hidur in Torah itself. And Torah informs our perspective of Hidur. And if it's not beautiful from the perspective of Torah, it's not beautiful. And if it is beautiful from the perspective of Torah, then we bring it. Ba'al Eshem. Rav Nevin Sal Kedarko B'Kodesh added that that's the, if you take a look, the famous criticism of Malachi that's quoted in the Gemara Sukkah and Daf Lamed, Hakriveu Nalif Chasecha, that Malachi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is disgusted that we bring karbonos that are not nice. So Malachi is written in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, during that period of time. Basically, what happened was beauty was something that was relegated to the outside world, and the Mikdash was an avoda that we had to do. That was a chiyuv that we had to do. Sounds a little bit familiar today. You have to keep mitzvahs. You have to learn a little bit of Torah. Fine, but the values, the appreciation, the culture that comes from something that's outside. Hence, the hakpada on hidur, and that's why the Chashmonaim Dafka needed to make sure that if they weren't going to bring Hidur into the Mikdash then, it could be that Hidur would forever be lost to the Yevanim. Maybe that is the pshat. Now, of course, if we go a step further, we could understand if a person doesn't feel the Yofi of himself in the Beis HaMedrash, the person doesn't feel the Yofi of himself in Avodas Hashem, if a person doesn't feel the yofi of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world through the perspective of Torah, it's impossible to keep up his lavos and avodas Hashem. Zok debach, in the end of Tafresh Ayin, why was it that the Yevanim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the koach, the zabach, la halacha? Why was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Yevanim the koach to be able to come into the Mikdash? Because we were in Nisrashel Ba'avoda, we had become weak in Avoda. It's all part of the same thing. If we look at Yofi, if we look at beauty, if we look at the colors of life, the spice of life, if we look at it from the perspective of outside of Torah, then it's impossible for us to have a Hislamus in Avoda. In contrast, if we incorporate everything so into Avodas Hashem, so then in such a case, then one has the sense of Islamus from Avodah. So the Chashmonaim have to put back that sense of Yofi and that sense of Zrizus into Avodah Hashem, and that's the whole celebration of Chanukah. This is the same Yisod Rabosan that we had developed from Rak and Yiras Elokim. In Rak and Yiras Elokim, Bamakom Hazeh, there's a bipolar world where a person might keep Torah and mitzvos, but at the end of the day, his system of morality comes from the outside. And over here, when we're talking about Hanukkah, what we're talking about is the system of the outside that's not the system necessarily of morality, the system of Greece, the system of beauty, of culture being informed from the outside, as opposed to bringing the values of the outside. We believe that there's values from the outside. Yafifusa shal yefes. But it all has to be done from the perspective of Olei Shem. One simple application to this idea. And really, Rabbi said, that's the avodah for, before I apply it. That's the avodah of the Kras Chanukah. It's the avodah of the Parashios, and it's the avodah of the Kras Chanukah. Every single one of us has to make a cheshbon whether we live in a dual world. There's only one world. There's only one Borei Olam. And we have to ask ourselves if everything is being done through that perspective. I remember it caught my ear once. Rav Yitzchak Kohn was screaming in Beis Medrash Sichas Musar many years ago, and he was screaming about, what was his exact expression? Something to the effect of was, the Beis Medrash is the basketball court. Something to that effect. That's what he was saying. And I realized that was the first time I had heard it, I had ever heard that in the awesome Beis Medrash, the Harry Fishel Beis Medrash, the now old Beis Medrash. I'm having a hard time adjusting to that. But that was the first time in so many years that I had that Nakuda emphasized. Well, you come to the Beis Medrash, you learn, you check in, you want, it's important to you. And then you have other things that are also important in life. But the notion that the basketball court could be the Beis Medrash, that whole Bechina was something that I realized that I had not internalized. It's so easy to live in a world, in a bipolar world. And for a person to really, really internalize that everything is that Bechina of Avodas Hashem. That it's not that the base medrash, that Torah and Tefillah is Avodas Hashem. Every single part of our Amach Evarim and the Shasa Gidim is all part of Avodas Hashem. Then when a person begins to internalize that, then he becomes Neven Hashem. But until then, there's a deep chisaron in who he is. Let's apply it, Rabbi Osei. One of our rabbeim in yeshiva, Rabbi Nish Ginsburg, told a beautiful story about his nephew. He has a brother who is a professional. He works all week. When he was initially married, first few years, they're renting an apartment, and the apartment, they didn't have place for him to learn except for the dining room table. And he would learn. His brother, he's a professional person, he's kovei itim in the morning and at night. So during the week, I guess they had another kitchen table. The dining room table was, he used to leave his farm there all week, and on Shabbos they would take his farm off of the table. He said his nephew was once showing his parents around the apartment. He said, this is Abanima's room, this is my room, this is the kitchen. And he came to the dining room and he said, this is Abba's Beis Medrash. In the child's mind, the dining room table was a Beis Medrash. That's a tremendous chinuch. That's a chinuch I'm jealous of. That the child perceives that the dining room table is Abba's Beis Medrash. This is not someone who's learning Kol, it's not someone who's a Rebbe, he's a professional. But the child perceived that the house, that the dining room table is Abba's Beis Medrash. It could have been just something that his mother had said to him. It could have been something that his father had said, the way he described it once. But either way, that perception, oh, das is a bayis. That's a home. That's a home where the child feels that the home is also a Beis Medrash, so then that is a home with Kedusha. That's a home where the child perceives that the father doesn't live in a bipolar world. The Yoser Guru Amiza. How scary it is the other way. They say once upon a time, there was a child of a Rav who was not frum, and the Rav was a massive Talmud Chacham. And they asked the child, what's going on? Did your father not influence you? Your father was sitting and learning all the time. What about the hashpos of your father? He said, what do you mean? So when my father came home, he used to eat supper with us. He would tuck us in. We would go to bed. And he went to a room. In that room, we never went into. We didn't even know what he was doing in that room. He was learning, he was preparing to say a shir, but we never felt connected to it. When the child feels that the dining room table is the Beis Medrash, that's a world where everything is unified. But where the child feels that the father runs away, the father comes home, and then he goes out to the Beis Medrash, but never the house becomes the Beis Medrash itself. So then in such a case, in Chas v'Chalila, we're raising the children, possibly, in a bipolar world. And this is actually nogea for Avreichim in the inverse direction as well. Dahainu. Often, we have a tremendous, tremendous tshuka to be in the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash, Baruch Hashem, our Beis Medrash is bubbling. There's constantly ideas. I remember last week I was talking with the Ramban, and before long, there were three or four guys fighting about the Ramban. There's a geshmak, there's a pilpul chaverim, and it's something we're showing for. We're showing for the pilpul chaverim, like when we had 12 o'clock in the morning when we were learning in yeshiva, and we're still banging out the ktsos, or banging out even Parshas HaShavu, whatever it might be. There's a geshmak of the pilpul chaverim. So what does the husband have a tendency to do? He does everything that his wife wants him to do, and then back to the Beis Medrash. Ashreinu Atzol Chalkeinu, Baruch Hashem, I'm zocha to be speaking to Talmidim like this. That's very, very special. But at the same time, Rabbosai, from a purely outside of Shalom Bayis. Outside of Shalom Bayis. We get to Shalom Bayis if we have time. But even outside of Shalom Bayis, just in terms of what is the bias, the husband needs to make the imprint that the bias, that the dining room table is a place of Torah. The Torah can't be like a magazine. That just like you have a magazine that's appropriate in the house, you also have a Gemara laying around the house. It has to be b'chashivas, but the child saw it as chashivas in that story. The child saw that the table is the base of Medrash. Yosem Yizeh, in terms of our yachas with our wives. One of the biggest challenges that we have is conveying our joy and our excitement for learning to our wives. At the end of the day, we don't believe, I should speak for myself, but we don't believe in women learning Gemara all day. So how is a woman supposed to appreciate her husband's learning? The more and more that we do to incorporate our learning with the experience of our wives, the more and more we could feel that she feels connected to our learning. So, let me give practical examples in that regard. I found a lot of times I have Talmidim that by nature are very modest. And when they say a good svara in shir, or they say a good svara with their chavrusa, they develop a chiddush, so they don't like to talk about it. It's almost embarrassing. And it's a beautiful thing. But there's one person, fine, you could be embarrassed, you could be shy amongst your friends, you could be modest amongst your friends. Don't be modest around your wife. I have a taiva to say be a bal gaiva, but it's too strong to say in such a way, and not only is the formulation not correct, it could be the intonation of it is also would be wrong. But share with her your growth in learning, your happiness in learning, your excitement in learning, and your accomplishments in learning, and allow her to be proud of it. I'll give you an example in my own personal life. I don't like making siyumim. I find it a little bit too. I got rishus from Rav Nemtzal not to make siyumim. Even though Rav Nemtzal himself is very mocked, I don't have many to make. But whatever I do, I said to him, if I don't, it's okay if I don't. So he told me, even though guys say other things, that he's very mocked, say his son Rav Chizki is extremely, extremely mocked whenever he finishes a masechta, right away on the spot to make siyumim. I told you the story about him and the music, right? Oh, I gotta tell you this story. We're not out of time. Oh, this is an amazing story. Rav Yitzchak, you've heard this story about the scene with the music. One day in the dormitory, this must be in Chevron, right here, right across the street, Chizki and Evansal hears music being played by his next door roommate. So he goes into the room and he says to him, Mazel Tov. So the fellow next door to him says, What do you mean? So Rav Chizki says, Magi alechem mazel tov, lo? Says, no. So he says to him, you're playing music now. So it became clear that Rav Chizki, as a 17, 18-year-old bachur, assumed that the only time you listen to music is when you finish a masechta. So, in the Neven Sala house, they listen to music. But you know what they do? Friday, when I guess you call it when they're chilling out, you know, when they're helping their mother get ready for Shabbos, so they want to listen to music. Everybody likes to listen to music before Shabbos, right? You turn on the music, you take a shower, v'chulei, v'chulei, you help out your parents. So in the Neven Sal house, so they also like to do that. So he goes to his brother and he says, Akiva, what do you want to do? So Akiva says, all right, tzmura. Bang. They sit down, 15 minutes. They go through tzmura, and then they turn on the music. So he heard the fellow playing music, so he assumed that he had just finished a small masechta and then turned on the music, so he gave him a mazel tov for the simcha. That's the way it is in the bayis over there. Now, what was my train of thought? The first time in history I've lost my train of thought in these shiurim.
Sharing with your wife.
Sharing with...
Right, making
a scene, right. So I'll tell you personally, as far as myself, I'm uncomfortable making a siyum. On the other hand, my wife was toveya me. She said, "You're not sharing with us. When you finish." And so therefore, I don't invite other people. I'm uncomfortable. That's just my mishigas. But at the end of the day, at least that the family and the children should experience that. That's something that's extremely, extremely, extremely important. Extremely important to be able to share that. And finally, on the most basic level, especially in the grus setting, where our wives don't have a lot of time to spend with family, and there isn't a lot of a larger social construct except for the other women that are around, it's very easy to get lonely. Very, very easy to get lonely. And therefore we have to be doubly, doubly conscious of making sure that there is that she feels that she's being cared for and thought of. So learning at home is one etzah. I'm not saying notice, I haven't given any formula. I don't believe that there's a particular formula. There isn't any one particular formula. But what I do know is that we have to be very, very conscientious about it. One way of doing it is sharing our learning with her, our accomplishments. It also means learning at home a little bit more than we would have thought of. And learning at home is not, what I'm emphasizing, is not only a bidyeved. Learning at home is transforming the bais. Of course, there's siddurim and yeshiva. I'm not talking about during the siddurim and yeshiva. I'm talking about outside the siddurim and yeshiva. Of course, the siddurim of the kol will have to be entirely kept. But outside the siddurim of the kol, that's something that we really, really have to spend a lot of time and a lot of thought on. And with that, we'll be zocha to have a shechina that's shor the bais, and we'll have a bais that's a bais in medrash bechutz ubibefnim, that ultimately there won't be a bipolar way of living. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow us to be mekadesh all bechinas of our avoda, that the avoda of the gashmis and the avoda of the ruchnis should not be two separate things, but ultimately should all be one in Yisrael v'arayis and the kutshav rifu fountain.